Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. And my name is Deacon Louis Zimlick, and I'm a deacon here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and I'm at St. John Bosco Parish and Mattawan, St. Margaret Mary in Marcellus, and also St. Mary's in Pawpaw, soon to be part of that group, too. And we're going to read some scriptures today. In this last week, there was the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and I think it might be kind of a neat thing for us to look at and talk about and look at the scripture readings that are at that Mass and give us some good discussion points and give us some things to think about and pray about this week as we go through this week. So if you want to get your Bibles out, we're going to be looking at Revelation, or also known as the Apocalypse, the Book of Revelation, chapter 11, and that's going to be 19 through chapter 12b. So the Book of Revelation. So we're going to read from that first, and then we'll come back and we'll comment on these things too, on what the Church teaches, what the Catholic Church teaches. And, you know, if you've got any questions or concerns or anything like that, you know, if you'd, you know, ever want to speak with me personally, you can always reach me at my email, which is deaconzimlick, Z-E-M-L-I-C-K, @gmail.com, or at any of the parishes, or you can drop a line down to the Diocese of Kalamazoo as well. And their website at the Diocese of Kalamazoo is diokzoo.org. And you can also see, you know, the different parishes in the area too. So this is, you know, this is an outreach too to Catholics who have fallen away from the Church, as well as, you know, people who don't know anything about the Catholic Church. It's the oldest church from the very beginning, over 2,000 years old. So we really invite you to come and visit us. Come and visit us. That'd be great. So let's get started, and then we'll do these readings. We only have about another 25 minutes, just a 30-minute show. So we'll read these scripture readings, and then we'll look at what the Church teaches on all these scripture readings. First, Revelation 11. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen in the temple. A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars. She was with child and wailed aloud in pains as she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. It had on its heads were 7 diadems. Its tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth, to devour the child when she gave birth. She gave birth to a son, a male child, destined to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up with God and his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert, where she had a place prepared by God. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of God and the authority of his anointed one." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beautiful reading there. And then we're going to go right on to our psalm reading, which is Psalm 45. The queen takes her place at the right hand in the gold of Ophir. Hear, O daughter, and see, turn your ear. Forget your people and your father's house. So shall the king desire your beauty, for he is your Lord. There are born in the gladness and joy. They enter the place of the king. The queen stands at your right hand, arrayed in gold. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians 15. You'll notice we have two New Testament readings here, which is common on feast days, special feast days, as well as, of course, during the Easter season as well. We have mostly all New Testament and Gospel readings. So here's our, it's actually our third reading, but we call it the second reading. So 1 Corinthians 15. So if you want to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 27. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in its proper order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. When the hand over the kingdom, when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father. When he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he subjected everything under his feet. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great readings there. And then we're going to go on to the gospel. The gospel reading is Luke 1, 39, chapter 1, 39 through 56. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed, that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful readings today for us to think about and talk about. And first we get started with the book of Revelation. And if you look at this, and if you've ever seen portraits of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the beautiful portrait of Our Lady that Juan Diego, that would be the 100-year anniversary next year, this image that was seen down in Tepeyac, Mexico, that it is the exact image of this that we see right here, this woman clothed with the sun. And it's something beautiful for us to really contemplate and think about. So often some people will think that, you know, Catholics worship Mary. We do not worship Mary. We honor her. We highly honor her. You know, who would you honor more than the mother of our Savior, right? The mother of Jesus. But in a very special way, I want us to think about this. I want us to think about these scriptures today, because they're really key and really grasping the real depth of our faith, which is the fulfillment of Judaism, which is this fulfillment of all the scriptures, that Christ coming, being born of this virgin, being born of the Virgin Mary, that to really have this depth, this great depth, all the great popes, all the great saints, great people all through time. I think of Mother Angelica, who's the founder of EWTN, the largest Catholic network in the world, that this woman, Mother Angelica, founded. Great devotion to Our Lady. And because it's loving the whole family, right? So we don't just love just our mom or just our dad or, you know, just our brothers or sisters. You know, you try to love your whole family. And who to love more than Jesus's whole family as well. So when we look at this, but in a very special way, we'll kind of look at this real, how Mary brings together. She becomes this bridge, right? You see this bridge that happens between the Old Testament. Of course, she's Jewish, and we're coming out of this Jewish tradition, and we make this transition into the new tradition of Christianity, this fulfillment, see? So she becomes this bridge, this beautiful bridge for us to really think about and contemplate, because she is the image for us. You know, she is fully human. Has she already received her salvation by a single act of and the Immaculate Conception? Yes, for this purpose. See, for this purpose, to bring God into the world. So the church points to this, that she is the servant of the Old and the New Testaments. See? You hear that? How the church teaches that? She is the servant of the Old and the New Testaments, just as we should be. She is this bridge for you and me to bridge those things that it's not just about the New Testament. We need to look at the Old Testament too. We need to look at our brothers and sisters who went before us. And so let us continue here, and we'll go to 1 Corinthians. We'll go to 1 Corinthians and what the church is teaching us in this. And there's several teachings in here, and we'll touch on these points here, that Jesus is raised from the dead. And we believe in the resurrection, that Jesus has become this new Adam. Creation starts over again, right? It starts over again. That this is this the finale, the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever and ever. And He is the Lord of all. And also of a reminder in 1 Corinthians 2 that death is a consequence of sin, right? So death is a consequence of sin. And that Jesus is the Lord of all. And we don't decide on Mary's holiness, okay? Jesus does. God does. God makes this decision of who is saved and who is not saved, and when they are saved and when they are not saved. So we think about that too. But I want to get right into the gospel readings here too, and then we're going to have another reading from a book that's called "Behold Your Mother" by Tim Staples, and he's a Catholic apologist. So we're going to talk a little bit about his book too. I want you to, you know, if you're ever thinking about, and he's a convert to the faith. He was born and raised Southern Baptist, and just a wonderful speaker and. You know, some of the greatest speakers right now in the Catholic Church are, and some of the greatest apologists are converts to the faith. So it's very interesting, you know, things that are developing in the church today. So let us look at Luke chapter 1 here. So the church has 22 different teachings from the catechism. And it's just quite amazing that we have these. It's quite amazing that we have 22 different teachings in just this gospel reading. And there's about, you know, 45 lines in this gospel reading, and there's 22 different teachings. So I want to kind of go through those quickly and then try to touch base on some of these other things. So we've just got about another 15 minutes left. So Luke chapter 1:39. So John the Baptist is, you know, Mary is going to the house of John the Baptist, and she enters in there, and of course John the Baptist, you know, you think about miracles, right? You think about miracles, and how does this baby hear the voice of the mother of Jesus, and the baby jumps, right? John the Baptist jumps for joy because he hears the voice of the mother of the Lord. See? Wow. Right? So he hears that. So he reacts to that. And maybe he also reacts to the presence of the Lord as a baby, right? The baby is in the womb of Mary. And John reacts to that as well, maybe there too. See? So it's a visit, and the church says to us quite clearly in this, says, you know, that God comes and visits his people, right? See, God comes and visits us in ways that we don't know. And sometimes that's in the way of a pregnant woman, you know, that God is there, that this life is there, this preciousness of life, and how much we need to learn on that today, how much we need to pray about that today, and help those people today who have had difficulties, to pray for those people who have had difficulties getting pregnant, for people who have had difficulties not being able to have children, people who have had, unfortunately, who have had abortions, people who have struggled with that, the pain of that, people who may even today be contemplating that, and for families to be healed. To be healed and reconciled. God forgives these things. God forgives these things and wishes them not to happen. But, you know, sometimes people under terrible distress, people with no support from their family. So we think about that today. We think about these two pregnant women, Elizabeth and Mary, and the children that they brought into the world. And I hate to say it, but, you know, you look at this first reading from Revelation, right? This monster, this who is looking to devour the child. And it's very sad. It's very sad. And that's evil. There's evil in the world. The devil exists. And we must battle against him. A great way to battle against it is pray. Pray. Go to Mass. Become reconciled. Love your brothers and sisters. Choose love rather than hate, right? So here we go. So John the Baptist prepares the way. God visits his people. There's many other readings. The Lord is divine. See, this is a moment of adoration for us. And those of you who have never experienced adoration in the Catholic Church, I really encourage you to look up in the Diocese of Kalamazoo and look at the different parishes that have 24-hour adoration. I know St. Monica's has 24-hour adoration. I think St. Joseph's in St. Joe, they have 24-hour adoration too. And that Mary is holy. Mary is the mother of the Lord. She is the mother of our Savior. And we rejoice in Mary, this full of grace that from Luke chapter 30, that you know, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and says, "Full of grace, do not be afraid, Mary. You know, do not be afraid. And you are full of grace." That Mary cooperates, and that she is obedient, that she has devotion, that she has this great love and prayer, and also that she has this faith that glories in weakness. Do you understand that? The faith that glories in weakness. So from this, it says here in the cast down the mighty from the throne, lifted up the lowly, filled the hungry with good things. And we look at this as so beautiful that Mary brings us all these things. And to help us, and to help make us holy, right? So that we can become holy and good people. And then, of course, the highest prayer that we can all have is reception of the Eucharist, to receive the Eucharist. And also, the eighth commandment, living in truth, right? To live in truth, to be truthful and to be honest with one another and be honest with ourselves. And that God's promise is the giving of His Son and the giving of the Holy Spirit. And then this, from this, the fullness of all of the Scriptures through Christ, that has come to us through Christ. So we look at this, if we back up here a little ways to the gospel, I really like to read this part here where it says, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of our Savior should come to me? For the moment the sound of reaching my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed." Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. And so blessed is Mary who does this, who believes, who becomes really, for all of us, she becomes this first believer, right? And we think about how special that is. And, you know, I notice with people sometimes and how they address people and how, you know, sometimes people will say, well, you know, the Catholics, how you would say, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary or Our Lady, or, you know, using these titles rather than just saying Mary or she or her. See, that's a disrespectful thing to do. You know, you refer to someone else's mother or someone's mother or father, you don't go him or her, or, you know, her or she. It's like, hey, you know, that's my mom. You know, that's Mrs. Zemlich. See, you don't say it like that. It's a very dishonorable and distasteful thing to do. So I want to read a couple of things from Tim Staples. Now, this is his book, Behold Your Mother, and it's a biblical and historic defense of all the Marian doctrines, in the church. And of course, he's a convert to the faith, but he's got in here, you know, a bunch of great stuff on Mary, the Mother of God, Mary, full of grace, ever virgin, assumed in the heaven, and mediatrix and co-redemptrix, and how Mary participates. And that's what that's about. This co-redemptrix, that Mary participated. See, this bridge. Mary becomes this bridge. And for us not to recognize that and look at that and try to understand it the best we can is a great mistake for us in this life here on earth, to really discover the beauty and the fullness of the Catholic Church, the beauty and the fullness of the Catholic faith, to see how the Church has taught these things for over 2,000 years now. So I'll read from a little excerpt from his book here, and about the woman in Revelation 12 is Mary. And it goes just like this. We have already examined at some length how Mary is the woman in Revelation 12. The chapter presents a remarkably clear depiction of the Mother of God in heaven. Pope St. Pius X elaborates on the Catholic perspective. A great sign, thus the Apostle St. John describes a vision divinely sent him, appears in the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars upon her head. Everyone knows that this woman signifies the Virgin Mary, the stainless one who brought forth our head. The apostles continue, and being with child, she was traveling in birth, and was in pain and delivered. John therefore saw the most holy mother of God already in eternal happiness, yet travailing in a mysterious childbirth. Pope Benedict Emeritus also adds this. Also at the heart of the vision of the book of Revelation unfolds the deeply significant vision of the woman bringing forth a male child, and the complementary one of the dragon already thrown down from heaven, but still very powerful. The woman represents Mary, the mother of the Redeemer, but at the same time, she also represents the whole church, the people of God of all times, the church which in all ages, with great suffering, brings forth Christ ever anew. And she is always threatened by the dragon's power. Understand that today. Think about that today. Think about who the dragon is today that threatens her. Think about the dragon that speaks against her, that says vehement things against her. Because when you say these things against Mary, you say these things against Jesus. Correct? Because she is with child. See? And this vision, this great vision that we see, that she is pregnant. She is with child. So you cannot separate the two out. See? You cannot separate these two things out. So often we do that. You know, we were talking about separation last week. But how we can separate these things out? You cannot. You cannot separate these things out. And in many ways, I think, you know, this is why God came into the world like he did, through a woman. The most persecuted person in our world is the woman. Over and over again, persecuted. Mostly by men. Sometimes by other women. Sometimes by other religions. It's very sad indeed. Very sad indeed, my friends. So let us think about that. Let's think about that this week. Let's think about that in the parishes that we go to, the preachers that we listen to. How do they look at her? How do they look at Our Lady? How do they look at the Mother of Jesus? You know, do they look at her in a positive way, in a loving way, in a way of kindness and love and support? Or is it the opposite of that? Is it more like the dragon? See? Because you cannot separate the two out. The dragon wants to destroy both. Destroy the child, destroy Jesus, and destroy Our Lady. Destroy the church. And as these holy fathers of the past and many others, including Tim Staples, have said, these are things for us to look at. That the vision of Our Lady of Guadalupe, our vision of Our Lady, is for us. It is for the church. That is the church. The church that is being attacked, whether it be by government or whether it be by certain individuals. We need to learn to protect her, to pray for her, to love her till the end. And so as we go through this week, let us be in deep prayer. If you're away from the church, please, we ask you to return, to come home, to receive the Holy Eucharist, to become healed and to become whole again. And to really, to help us all, to help all of humanity, and to help this world, to bring Christ to everyone, especially those in most need. May Almighty God bless all of you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.